Welcome to the Business Shop Podcast, where our guests speak on meeting the challenges of entrepreneurship, as well as offer tips and advice on business, marketing, technology, and more. Whether you are a newbie or a seasoned professional, this episode is for you. I am your host, Audrey Wiggins. Let's chop it up. Hello, Chop Squad. Great to be here with you again. I'm excited about our guest today and introducing him on this episode. Our guest's journey in business started by working in his parents' businesses. He saw firsthand the risk and hard work necessary to be a successful entrepreneur. Once he discovered he was pretty good with numbers and systems and got the degrees and certifications to prove it later on, he set out to change the world with the power of finance. He built a corporate career in finance and operations in companies that grew like crazy. His first company grew from $175 million to $2.8 billion during his time of service. Since then, every company he has served in has grown exponentially through both organic and M&A activity or mergers and acquisitions. A couple fun facts about him. His parents also owned a scuba business in Florida, and he had the opportunity to be around the shops, quote unquote, working from a very young age. He is also an avid biker. That was something exciting to learn about him. He's done the charity ride for AIDS Life Cycle. It's a 545-mile ride from San Francisco to Los Angeles. He's done it several times, along with other shorter distance bike rides. Now, our guest is the founder of PPS Solutions. His name, John Hannum. John, welcome to the Business Shop.
Thank you so much, Audrey. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. We're going to hear more from John on the other side of this message.
Knock out your competition with Altogether Marketing. We elevate your brand. Take a stance with your business name, logo, the tagline, your colors, even the fonts for your business. And then jab left with your website. Jab right with core values. Back up with product experience and bring it on with you. Visit altogether.biz and let us help you create a knockout brand.
This is a very exciting conversation. You know, numbers can be exciting, right?
Numbers are great. I really appreciate your enthusiasm on that. Some people, it's nap time, but I get excited by numbers every day.
Yeah, so, and I'm excited to hear what you have to say because, and we really should be, because if we don't know our numbers, like in our health, everything can be helter-skelter at one point. You know, things could absolutely collapse. So first of all, your company, I know you provide strategic partnerships and, you know, to business leaders as well as administrative support. So helping us to take that burden off of our shoulders so we can do what we do best, and that's grow our business, sell our products and services. So let's start with, what is finance to a business?
Yeah, that's a great question. And it's kind of the core of what the service that we offer is. You know, we offer finance, and that represents itself in the idea of a CFO and maybe accounting and some other things beneath that. Obviously, big companies have huge finance departments, and there's hundreds and hundreds of people in finance departments that I've worked in. Not each one has its own specialized space, but the idea of finance really is just about numbers, right? It's talking through the language of numbers about the rest of the operations. Especially in entrepreneurial businesses, entrepreneurs have to wear a lot of different hats. They have to be marketing and sales and operations and innovation, administration. Every single one of those has a number behind it. So, finance relates to every single part of the rest of the business. It's just talking about it through that language of numbers. Finance is just thinking of the money perspective of things. It's the intersection of thinking about money with all those other disciplines. And, to me, we offer that service of allowing that entrepreneur not to think about the money behind it, right? An entrepreneur has a vision. Maybe they're really specialized in the marketing or innovation approach. Maybe they're really good at operations. Whatever those spaces they're not good in, though, there are services available that can help them to create that. And that's what PPS Solutions does.
Okay. So then what is the difference then? Because, we do our own bookkeeping. We might have a CFO or a CPA. So what's the difference there?
Well, that's a great question. So, the typical trajectory is you're your own entrepreneur and you have to wear all the hats until all of a sudden you're too busy. So you get rid of some administration, right? You you hire a bookkeeper, or you know, have a CPA external that's going to worry about your tax returns, et cetera. So most of my time is actually educating people on how finance is really different than your CPA or bookkeeper, both of which are really important spaces, important people within that within the ecosphere. You can't do good things without good books. So, you know, it's the basis of accounting. But you also don't want to be asking your bookkeeper about whether you should be hiring a new sales manager or opening a new warehouse, you know, new distribution channel, product innovation, all of that kind of thing. So your CFO, whether it's full-time or part-time, fractional, really is a person that you take all of your financial questions to, and or a partner that it helps you answer those. You know, the CFO thinks differently a little bit than your bookkeeper. Your bookkeeper and your accountant are going to think, how does this go into the tax return at year end? You know, they just don't have the experience, tools, or strategic perspective to give that operational financial perspective. And that's where I think the real difference is. Of course, good finance, as I mentioned, does start with great accounting. So you have to have a good accounting. You know, in a lot of ways, bookkeepers operate in a tax-only scenario, i.e. cash basis. So really thinking about your books as a source of numbers that are going to help you manage the business might be useful to as a place to start for accounting. The you know, the bookkeeper is gonna probably think about putting like commission expense. If you have commissions that you pay in February for January sales, you know, those hit the tax return in February, not January. So the bookkeeper would put those in February. In accrual accounting system and thinking about numbers for operational use, those commissions relate to sales in January. So they should be put in January and accrued into January. So just thinking about the accounting and numbers from a different perspective is the basis for, you know, for good accounting and good finance. After you have good accounting and your numbers are kind of reflective of the operations that you've had for each month, then you can start making a budget, a plan, an idea. And that's where I think the magic starts happening, right?
Okay. That's the fun part, huh?
It is. So you got into your business to be, to have a vision, right? To accomplish a goal, whether that goal is a successful exit, a yacht, you know, your children's college fund, you know, selling it off and starting a new business because you just, you know, like the pain and agony of starting businesses. That's also a valid goal. Whatever your goals are, you had a vision and you had a dream. So, you know, what the first idea of finance to that dream is creating that plan and that spreadsheet, right? A lot of the people that listen to your podcast will understand what a business plan is because they had to create one either for the SBA to get some financing or just because it's a good thing to do. You know, that business plan is a written down version of that vision. There's a spreadsheet behind that called a budget or a plan or a forecast or you know, some type of other word, but there's a spreadsheet behind that that's really kind of important. And to the planning and strategy of the company, that spreadsheet is a benchmark. So once you make it, you take all your vision and you assign some numbers to it and you say, okay, here's what we're going to do. You can look at that bottom line and understand, is it useful? Is it worth doing what we're going to do? Is it worth the time, agony, and difficulty of creating this business? Am I going to get the result that I want to have in the end out of these numbers? And if not, how do I adjust that to make a better plan?
Okay. You had mentioned the concept earlier, fractional CFO. A lot of us may not know what that means.
Sure. The fractional CFO is a CFO, in my opinion. A lot of the people that do this in my industry are CPAs that have the, you know, financial acumen to add that service as kind of a, you know, it's kind of an add-on service, a monthly subscription, if you will. To me, a fractional CFO is a CFO who wants to do, you know, wants to use their powers for good rather than to get a fourth vacation home.
Okay.
So to me, it's about creating this idea of taking your experience in running larger companies and giving that wisdom and experience to smaller companies who can benefit from it the most.
What have you seen that small businesses struggle with the most over time or over the years?
Really, it's It's kind of an interesting question because every business struggles at a different point. Mm-hmm. And, you know, finance, I believe, can help unstick from that point. You know, the basics of good accounting, building a budget, you know, marking yourself against that budget and good fiscal governance can help you unlock all those difficulties. Some of the difficulties I've seen, not being able to be financed. In fact, I have to say through my referral partners, my biggest source of new clients is banks, second biggest source. Mm. You know, people that come in and say, here are my books, please give me a loan. And, you know, they're messy or they're not able to speak that financial language to the bank. Mm-hmm. You know, those banks actually refer those people to me and say, you know, have PPS take care of your accounting, get your books in order. We create a liaison with that bank to make sure that they can get financed when they go forward. You know, speaking the language of numbers to a bank is helps to create the way for that. So, you know, not getting your business results that you want, like a loan, is a huge difficulty.
Mm. Yeah, because that's how we need that money, other people's money sometimes to grow.
It is true. Yeah. Some of the things, I mean, we look at numbers. So, you know, not using your numbers as a benchmark and not using them as a review point, not getting the entire management team on the same page regarding the numbers. That's always a big issue. Mm-hmm. You know, monthly, each of our clients has a CFO call. We talk about the results. It's very difficult to kind of argue with the numbers when we know they're solid. And so, you know, once we put them forward and everybody says, yes, those are the numbers, we can decide, A, why they look good or why they look bad, mm-hmm. and B, what to do about them. You know, what action should we take to improve or make them better for the next month. So by just having that review aspect of looking at the operations through the accounting, I think it makes a huge difference. Otherwise, you have all of your business out there, whether it's just you or 20 people, mm-hmm. all your business out there that's acting in a way that doesn't have a basis in what's actually happening. They might assume things are happening one way and the numbers didn't say that. So just having everybody on the same page is a huge help, in my opinion.
Okay. So how does the business management piece work into this? Say the numbers aren't as good as they need to be, or like you said, they didn't, you know, they thought they were better, but they're not once they're sitting down and they're, you know, actually looking at the data. So are there recommendations to increase pricing, develop new products, or, you know, restructure how we do sales? What is the advice there? Or is that something that, you know, that the client has to do internally on their own?
I think they don't ever have to do it on their own, but mm-hmm. All of those are valid levers, right? So if you look at a company that's kind of maxed out in sales, in other words, they have 100% of the market, or, you know, a huge portion of the market that they're not going to get any more in sales, you might have to look at cost reductions or other types of a different market. Basically, if you're doing every single thing in a market in Los Angeles, and you can't grow that way, but you want to grow sales, you might need to, you know, move to San Francisco and mm-hmm. open a different market, or, you know, just there's 100,000 ways to do it. And, you know, by laying the alternatives out and understanding what they are, you can take those actions. But it's specific for every business. And the value of a CFO is they can kind of look at that, make the plan, and understand how the business should react to it. Mm-hmm. If we didn't know that we were 100% of the market, we might forecast that we were going to grow sales when it's literally not possible, right? 101%. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, every one of those is a valid action, and operations and finance can help make those decisions together. Whereas, you know, finance couldn't do it alone, and operations couldn't do it alone.
Yeah. So, how does one prepare, or what mindset do we need to have when taking on a fractional CFO?
Definitely. I know a lot of entrepreneurs that try and understand all the finance themselves. You know, my main point is you don't have to do that, right? You should understand enough to read a basic P&L, understand what financial concepts we're talking about. But, you know, taking on a partner is really, it's an act of faith, but it's also something that has enormous benefits pretty much right away. Mm-hmm. Once you find the CFO that you enjoy working with, and that should probably be the number one, number two right behind experience, but the number one thing about selecting a CFO, once you find somebody you enjoy working with, you'll enjoy those benefits right away. What should they know about hiring one? There's a lot of them out there. You know, some of them might be your CPA adding that service. You should kind of vet that person to understand, you know, whether they've had the experience of running businesses before and operating businesses. I think that's a different skill set than just being the CPA. It could be that they do have that, so that's great. Mm-hmm. And then that they have experience within your industry and understand the concepts. You know, I work with a lot of construction industries, mm-hmm. and there's a concept called WIP, or work in process, that yeah. people that don't work in construction just don't understand that. So mm-hmm. you know, having some industry experience is really key to knowing that. So when you interview your fractional CFO or your fractional CFO firm, you should just talk about your business. They'll discover kind of what it's about and what you're about. And you'll discover during that process what they're about and whether they have the requisite experience to handle your business. Okay. It's all about confidence, because they're going to be a strategic partner going forward.
Okay. Well, that's good to know. So about how much, many hours would your CFO spend with a business, or is it just depends on the business size and what their needs are?
It really does depend on the size and needs. And also what that business needs from the CFO. We operate on a subscription-based model, which doesn't have a number of hours attached to it. So, you know, if we underscope, we're terribly underwater. And if we overscope, we haven't provided the right services to that business. So, you know, I really try when in the sales process to match up what the business needs and what the CFO ability is. But, you know, more than that, it's about an access point. So, you know, do we need to talk about the numbers every day in most growing businesses? Probably not. But we do need to have some interaction on a weekly or monthly basis to make sure we're on track. Mm-hmm. You know, that you might need a CFO on a Friday afternoon when you need to make a big decision. So you need access to that person. But you don't want to hire have a person sitting at a desk that just to be available on Friday afternoons.
Right.
So it's really about access to that service. So, you know, depending on complexity and transaction volume, you know, people always ask what size business I work with. And I say, you know, zero to 100 million is probably a good space. Mm-hmm. 3 to 20 is probably more likely. Mm-hmm. But $3 million business that makes its money 26 cents at a time is way different than a $20 million business that has one contract, right? It's transaction velocity, all types of things that might, you know, be complex or easier for the CFO to deal with. And we take all that into account when creating the packages.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So then how can one get in touch with you or, you know, with PPS and, you know, to start that journey?
Well, our website is ppsfinance.com. PPS is for people, process, systems. So there's my huge belief that those three things in that order have to be accomplished in order to have success. So ppsfinance.com. There is a link on the website to schedule time with us. That's pretty easy to do. And then my email is john@ppsfinance.com. And those are the two easiest ways to get a hold of us. Love to talk to businesses about finance, so I'd welcome emails and bookings. I have still now 3.5 years into running this business, never received a call from an entrepreneur that said, "I woke up this morning and thought I need a fractional CFO and I need to call you." So, you know, most of my time is still spent educating people about what we do.
Okay, that's awesome. But John, let's drop a couple of one or two drops of wisdom on us before you leave.
Well, I think, you know, part of the benefits of a CFO, and I think this is really important. So you're going to run your business for, you know, 0 to 100 years, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, that business is going to do something every one of those years. My firm belief, my 100% belief, and backed up by, you know, results of 25 plus years now, is that every year you have the finance perspective at the table, you're going to have a better result, right? You're going to know your result. You're going to have a better planning. You're going to think about things in a financial way, so that over those times, you're going to have a better result. And that's why the subscription model works as well, by the way, just to, okay. in general. You know,
how did you come up with the subscription model?
You know, it wasn't my I kind of go back to the history of the founding of the company too. It wasn't my intention to start a fractional CFO firm. Mm-hmm. I had left a company in 2020 that we had taken public in 2018. You know, and that was the last kind of, we doubled the size of that company. It was pretty exciting couple of years being there, but you know, it was time to go in 2020.
Were you an employee? Let me interrupt you real quick. Were you an employee or you were owner in that?
No, I was employee. I was okay. stockholder, but you know, but employee of the company, traditional to standard CFOing. Okay. And I figured, you know, March of 2020, I was going to find a new job and go and do that to another company. You know, every company I had been with had either doubled, tripled, or you know, exponentially increased in success. So this was a company that within 2.5 years we doubled the footprint, took it from 1 to 14 states, 200 million to 400 million in revenue. You know, different good profitability, et cetera, and then took it public in the same time. So it was a little bit, you know, part of the hollow look in my eyes was that couple of years of work. So I figured I would go and do that for another company, and you know, I'm going to get that fourth vacation house someday.
Right.
And ultimately, I was asked by the person who does my taxes, because I don't do my own taxes. I'm not very good at it. I'm good at strategy, but not execution on the tax side.
Mm-hmm.
Person who does my taxes said, I have a company that you need to help. It didn't have anything else to do that day. So I said, fine, I'll talk to them. And they were having a shareholder dispute, needed some financing for a shareholder buyout. And I was like, okay, well, it's a, you know, $12 million, $13 million company. And I said, it's way too small for me to work with, but I have nothing else to do today. So I'm going to do it. And so through that process, I realized, you know, holy crap, these people that run these size companies make all these decisions based on instinct and you know, kind of gut, and they don't have a finance department. Wow. No rational CFO would allow this company to operate in this way. So I need to fix this. And that's when the light bulb went off. I said, oh, I should fix that. I should figure out how to help small businesses. I should do what I do, but just in smaller portions of time for smaller businesses. So, you know, my first thought, like everybody that enters my space, I think, was to do that on a consulting basis. And, you know, so I charged an hourly basis, and I went to the office one or two days a week and did stuff there and you know, worked myself into that, then added a few other clients and did the same thing. And you know, what I realized was that was, you know, we weren't really adding that value. I didn't need to be there all of that time once we had organized ourselves appropriately and gotten the shareholder dispute resolved and the company was operating correctly. You know, they just needed access to me. They needed to be able to call it Friday at 2 and say, you know, hey, should we add a new product? Should we open a new warehouse? Should I fire Carl? I don't know.
Yeah, so, I love it.
Yeah, that's how it kind of came to be. And ultimately, okay. The model was something that is becoming more and more prevalent. Mm-hmm. There are some coaches out there. I actually attended last year a conference of fractional CFOs, which we think is the first time that's happened. So, you know, there's an industry out there that's kind of evolving. And so I was more excited by the subscription model and having this access to CFOs than I was for, you know, charging an exorbitant rate to walk into the office for an hour.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then you get the joy of, you know, seeing these entrepreneurs or these businesses succeed.
It's the most satisfying thing for me when the light bulb goes off and we have to do something. I always, in my corporate career, liked solving puzzles. So when we did an acquisition, figuring out how that acquisition fit with the rest of the company, or you know, just solving a certain accounting issue, solving a certain people issue, building a team that did something, you know, I really enjoyed that. And I thought, well, that's you know something I'm going to miss if I just sit in a room and do finance for a bunch of small businesses. Mm-hmm. But I've really shifted that into the idea that I get real happiness when I see somebody get it and execute something that we agreed on together. Not that I told them to do, but you know, finance is not me telling you what to do. Finance is us figuring out what to do together. IBM doesn't hire, Google doesn't hire a CFO for a month, get all the stuff in order, and then kick them out the door, right? You always have the financial perspective at the basis. So, I would say that lawyers, for example, might be something that you want to, include at strategic moments, but don't need every day, right? You need a legal perspective, but once you have your contracts in place, you don't need a lawyer every day. Finance is something you should actually be thinking about every day. You should call your CFO every Friday at 2, if that's when you think the best and when you make your decision. Mm-hmm. And that's why the subscription model to me makes sense. Totally. So definitely better results. And if you have better results every year of your operations and you're always thinking about your operations going forward, to me, it's going to make a better result at the end. A lot of companies, they run their company and then get to the end and say, I want to sell in 12 to 24 months. And so I'm going to hire a consultant to come in and give me information and help me polish this thing off for sale. And that's my legacy, or give it to my children or whatever. To me, that valuation is 100,000 times better if you had somebody helping you run that all the time. You don't need that person at the end that's going to come in and give you all these recommendations, because you had the recommendations for the last 0 to 100 years. So I think that's what people really, that's the power of fractional finance to me.
Okay. Well, awesome. Well, John, I really appreciate it. You coming on, educating us about what a fractional CFO is, and the fact that we can have these services on a subscription basis. I think that's powerful.
That's awesome. Thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah, you're welcome. The Chop Squad, get to his website, ppsfinance.com. Book your initial consultation with someone there, with John or one of his team members, and let's get our businesses on the right foot.
Thank you for listening to The Business Chop. We hope that you were able to glean valuable information from our guest and that you will download and share this podcast. Your rating and review is much appreciated. To go deeper with our guests, please visit their website and social channels. To learn more about us, please visit businesschop.info or altogether.biz, where we will help you expand your brand.